Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We're getting ready for training camp just, 2 days away? Players report in 2 days. First practice on Saturday. We are almost at the starting gate. Almost. We're getting there. Today on Railbird Central's our training camp wide receiver preview day. We'll get to that in a moment. We're supposed to have joining us, hopefully, on the line at some point here, Paul Oren of the Times of Northwest Indiana. Actually, a Valparaiso basketball beat writer, also a Green Bay Packers fan. He's going to try to join us if he can. He's got a day job as well, so unlike some of us who apparently are not busy enough to, able to host a podcast at 8:30 a.m. Central Time in the morning, Paul actually works. Anyway, if he calls, we're going to get to him. In the meantime, I just want to go over kind of one piece of news here that kind of happened last night before we get into our wide receiver preview, and that is a street in the Lambeau Field neighborhood, technically in Ashwaubenon, but if you know how, if the city of Green Bay is laid out, Lambeau Field really is right against the border of Green Bay and Ashwaubenon. So it's, you know, it's right in the Lambeau Field neighborhood, even though it's not technically in the city of Green Bay. But anyway, the Ashwaubenon Village Board on Tuesday evening preliminarily approved Potts Avenue in the village of Ashwaubenon to be renamed to Mike McCarthy Way after the Green Bay Packers head coach. I do say preliminarily. Apparently there is some negotiations that need to be taken place between the Green Bay Packers and businesses affected by said change. Those who, businesses located upon Potts Avenue, who have to change their address, things like stationery and any signage, things like that. Apparently, the Packers are going to fit the bill, or they want at least the Packers to foot the bill. I'm not privy to every single detail here, but it's a preliminarily been approved, and it will apparently take place in about a year's time. They want to allow business owners things to use up, things like existing stationery, things like that, for about a year's time before they make the official change, which seems reasonable. I'm sure head coach Mike McCarthy would like it that way anyway. Here we are just on the doorstep of the 2014 season. I know he's kind of mentioned in the past that he would like to not be a distraction during the season. I'm sure he would be happy to do it, as long as it's in the off season or whatever, and that's appears what's going to take place. Probably some point in the summer of 2015, we're talking about Mike McCarthy Way changing from the former Potts Avenue in Ashwaubenon. This is the street runs basically, Potts Avenue basically runs into Lambeau Field, goes behind Ray Nitschke Field, Don Hutson Center, those facilities. It runs, right behind it, so right along Packers property, goes by the Green Bay Distillery and out towards Ashland Avenue there in the Green Bay / Ashwaubenon neighborhood, in the vicinity of Lambeau Field, in the shadow of Lambeau Field, if you will. So that's what happened. Congratulations to Mike McCarthy after winning a Super Bowl. I think any coach that wins a Super Bowl is worthy of that honor of getting a street named after them. There was a whole lot less wrangling over this particular decision than there was a proposal about a year ago, or at least, you know, it's been ongoing, I guess. But, you know, I think it was kind of first proposed about a year ago or so for Ashland Avenue to be renamed Mike McCarthy Way. But Ashland Avenue travels through three jurisdictions. You know, it's miles long. It has lots of businesses on it. It just wasn't feasible from a business standpoint for all these, you know, businesses and residences to change their address. And it makes sense, I think. Although, I mean, it's maybe a little bit bigger honor to be at, you know, what is now Ashland Avenue, because it's maybe a bigger street. I think it makes more sense that they actually did pick a smaller street, but one that's in the vicinity of Lambeau Field. It just appropriate, I think, for Mike McCarthy Way to be there near where he works and near the stadium. So, again, congratulations to Mike McCarthy. We'll touch back on that a year from now when it officially, the change takes place. But today, most of the rest of the episode, we're going to dedicate to breaking down the wide receiver position, our position-by-position training camp preview series here at Railbird Central. And what I want to do is just go pretty much player by player here and talk about these guys who are on the Green Bay Packers roster and, you know, how are they going to do for 2014, kind of projecting how they'll do, how they'll fit in, are they going to make the team, all these kind of questions. And of course, starting with the top, and I guess I'll start with basically two guys, even though they're, you know, different types of players. Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, both veterans. I mean, Nelson obviously, you know, has twice the professional experience of Randall Cobb, but still, guys who have now, at least in Cobb's case, been around the block. Cobb entering his fourth season in the NFL. He's been there, done that, knows enough now. He's not wet behind the ears anymore. These guys are going to be the number one and number two targets for the Green Bay Packers in 2014. And there's no reason to think, again, as long as they're healthy, that these guys aren't going to be among the best duo of wide receivers in the NFL. Maybe not the best duo. Certainly there's other, you know, combinations out there, including one at the division rival Chicago Bears that is pretty impressive between Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. But Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson, pretty good in their own right. You know, Nelson, the taller wide receiver, the guy who he is really good. He doesn't get the credit he deserves nationally. He gets the credit he deserves from me. I think Jordy Nelson's great because he's the whole package, basically. He's got the height. He can be kind of a possession type of receiver. He's got the strength enough to do that, but still has the speed to be a deep threat downfield. And, you know, some people say it's deceptive speed. I don't care. It's speed regardless. I mean, some people argue that, you know, because he's white, he doesn't get the respect he should maybe from defensive backs. Well, if that's the case, that's their own fault, the defensive backs, for getting burned by Jordy Nelson, which he does on plenty of occasions. But, you know, his body control along the sidelines, especially those tiptoe grabs along the sidelines, are, you know, absolutely amazing. Jordy Nelson, really, for the first time, he made the NFL Network's top 100 list. Just this offseason here in 2014, top 100 players in the NFL for the first time. It's a deserving honor. He's never been voted to the Pro Bowl yet, and I assume that's next for him. He deserves to go there. He's a Pro Bowl caliber type of player. Maybe it hurts him a little bit that, you know, in past years, there's been so much depth at the wide receiver position in Green Bay that, you know, it's tough for him to stand out individually just because he had to share balls with, you know, James Jones, who's now gone, of course, Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, et cetera, et cetera. Now Randall Cobb and Jarrett Boykin. So, not to mention the tight ends and running backs who are catching their share of passes as well. So it's been tough for Jordy Nelson to stand out a little bit. But anyway, kind of, you know, talking about Jordy Nelson, then getting to Randall Cobb here. Randall Cobb, kind of your slot wide receiver where he fits the best. Not to say, you know, both him and Nelson can't line up at other positions on the field, but, you know, Randall Cobb, kind of your threat from the slot, kind of a guy who works his way over the middle of the field. Not exactly tall, but very quick, very dynamic, can get deep, but is more than anything a threat with the ball in his hands. You know, he can take a 10-yard pass and turn it into a 50-yard gain, what Randall Cobb can do. And of course, you know, the recipient of the big touchdown reception late last season, season finale against the Chicago Bears to clinch the NFC North division, was a great moment, and a great catch by Randall Cobb. Lethal on kick returns. A lot of controversy about, you know, is he too valuable to the offense to use on kick returns? Boy, oh boy. I mean, sometimes I wonder whether the Packers should just keep him out there on kick returns as well. At least, you know, on occasion, and punt returns too. Maybe not the full-time job, but boy, oh boy, when it's a close game late in the game, why not have Randall Cobb out there? I trust him more and you know, have more faith in him to do something spectacular with the ball in his hands than I do a lot of other guys vying to be the kick and punt returners on the Green Bay Packers. You know, both these guys are threats, Nelson and Cobb, to have over 1,000-yard seasons. And what's interesting is that both of them enter the final years of their respective contracts. And difficult to say what's going to happen to them in the future, whether they'll both be under contract next season. I would say it's almost guaranteed that at least one of them will. I don't know exactly which one. You know, if I had to guess, I would say it's going to be Jordy Nelson. But I'm certainly not ruling out both players coming back next season. It could certainly be the case. It's so difficult to say. I mean, things are up in the air. The Packers have plenty of salary cap space right now to extend one, maybe both of them. But I am surprised and continue to be every minute that rolls on that Jordy Nelson has not signed a contract extension yet. I thought everybody kind of assumed this would get done before the start of training camp. And yeah, we still do have 2 days until the start of training camp. And it could very well happen any moment now that Jordy Nelson signs an extension and, you know, locks him up for the next several years in Green Bay. But it hasn't happened yet. And maybe it's a case where it'll just happen some point before the, you know, the start of the regular season, in which case we still have more than a month and get it out of the way before the games that count start. I have less faith that it'll happen with Randall Cobb, but again, not ruling anything out. All of a sudden, if Randall Cobb wants to accept a little less money for a little more security, it's going to make it easier on him to get a long-term deal from the Packers. Not to say he's going to get, you know, shortchanged by any means. He's going to get money no matter where he goes, as long as Randall Cobb can stay healthy. But I guess that plays a part of it too here is the health. You know, Randall Cobb coming off the season last year in which he missed, you know, basically, what, three quarters of the season due to that, he had a broken leg. Kind of got hit there. It was in Baltimore, I believe. I mean, the Packers might be, you know, kind of waiting perhaps to see, can you stay healthy before extending Cobb? And, you know, they could come to a contract extension with him anytime, you know, at mid-season. You know, sometimes these deals have a way of getting done during the bye sometimes. In addition to, you know, after the season, could get done then, you know, some point before the start of free agency. I mean, it really wouldn't surprise me at all if Randall Cobb signed an extension in February with the Green Bay Packers. Whatever, they're both in the fold for 2014, which is a good thing for the Packers and for them. And they're both on a very good team. So nothing to worry about there. Just worried about their future more than the present. Okay, so beyond Nelson and Cobb, who do we got beyond that? Jarrett Boykin, your incumbent, or I guess, you know, not incumbent, I should say, but, you know, a veteran coming back now in his third season in the NFL, coming off a good second season. Good, but not great. But considering the leap he made in 2013, he's definitely on the right direction. He's right on the right trajectory. Jarrett Boykin caught, what, 40-some passes last year for 600-some yards. I think he had 3 touchdowns. You know, it was kind of a breakout season for him last year, and with only, I think, better things to come. There's no reason to think Jarrett Boykin is going to have a dip in production in 2014. With James Jones gone, I think it's only going to get greater. With your Michael Finley gone, his production's only going to get greater. You know, he is more of your possession type of wide receiver because Jarrett Boykin doesn't really have that deep speed. I think he can kind of fill the role of James Jones kind of did. So I think that's what you're looking at from Jarrett Boykin, but no reason to think those 3 touchdowns he scored in 2013, he can't double that this year. He'll have a half a dozen. He'll have 6 at least, I'd say, if not more. I mean, hey, remember when James Jones caught 14 touchdown passes in 2012? I'm not saying Jarrett Boykin's going to catch 14, but for him to exceed 6 touchdowns, certainly not unreasonable. That very well could happen this upcoming season with Jarrett Boykin. There is maybe kind of a battle that's going to take place between Boykin and wide receiver Davante Adams. Adams, the second round draft choice of the Green Bay Packers, you know, the Packers didn't make him a second round draft choice for nothing. It kind of remains to be seen how much of a threat he can be in his rookie year in the NFL. You know, sometimes it takes these guys, you know, any rookie, just a year or two to get their feet under them, to learn the offense, to get used to the NFL, to get used to NFL caliber cornerbacks lining up against them, to get their timing down with the quarterbacks, with Aaron Rodgers. You know, all these reasons combined, you know, kind of contribute to slow starts by rookies at the wide receiver position. And I don't know what to expect from Davante Adams. I mean, he's going to be a contributing member of the Packers. I think he's the number 4 wide receiver at minimum. But I mean, you know, he's talented enough or showed enough flash in college at Fresno State where he caught 100 passes in both his freshman and sophomore seasons, over 100 passes, to show that he can be a threat in the NFL. Again, I mean, I don't know how quickly it's going to happen for him, but if he plays in the NFL like he did in college, Davante Adams is going to be a very good one. And, you know, there's kind of a reason the Packers went out and drafted not only Adams, but went out and drafted 3 wide receivers in the NFL draft this year, kind of because of the uncertainty with Nelson and Cobb and those guys with their contracts expiring here, where they're going to end up eventually in the NFL. But Adams is the future at the position. I mean, he could in time be a number 1 type of wide receiver. That, you know, him being the number 1 target definitely isn't going to happen in 2014, but could certainly happen in future years. But the other guys the Packers added, they had Jared Aberderis in the 5th round, Jeff Janis in the 7th round. These kind of guys, more question marks about them. Definitely talented, definitely have a lot of potential, but question marks about them. You know, the good news about Jared Aberderis, local kid, you know, from the state of Wisconsin, played at the University of Wisconsin. So a lot of people, you know, Jared Aberderis has a lot of fans and support behind him. That's for sure. He's got that going for him. But you know, as a player, he's a wide receiver slash return specialist. He brings that added value there, both kick returns and punt returns. He has experience doing both in college and can help out the Packers in that regard, maybe, depending how he does. You know, from all indications, a good route runner. Perhaps, and now on the negative side, though, a little bit strength deficient, or at least that's what he showed at the NFL Combine, and also has a concussion history, which worries you a little because, I mean, obviously they take big hits in the NFL, but the biggest hits in pro football have a tendency to happen on kick returns, which is, you know, what people kind of think. Well, Jared Aberderis, he's a kick returner at Wisconsin and a pretty decent one, you know, that, you know, that's where he can help the Packers. But kind of scares you a little bit to know he's had concussions in college and, you know, to think, you know, they're only going to be harder hits in the NFL against better athletes. So there's a concern there and a worry there that he may not be able to stand up to the pounding week in and week out of the NFL. That's, you know, he comes in healthy. His injury issues are behind him for the time being until he suffers another one, if and when he suffers another one. You know, so until then, I mean, there's no reason to, you know, no reason to knock Jared Aberderis just because of his past injury history. We'll see what he's got. And you know, if he plays like he did in college, in which he was, you know, a first-team All-Big Ten performer last year. No reason to think he can't be successful in the NFL as well. Jeff Janis makes the big jump from Division II-level college football at Saginaw Valley State in Michigan to the NFL, and that's going to be the biggest thing for him because, you know, the coaching and his football knowledge is probably behind the curve, behind a lot of rookies, as you kind of as it showed in the Senior Bowl when he was invited there. And it's great that he was invited there, and I think, you know, kind of it was an opportunity for him to kind of catch up and get a little NFL caliber coaching there for a week at the Senior Bowl. But Jeff Janis, workout warrior, and that's not to say, I mean, that term is kind of used for guys who never make it, but no doubt at the NFL Combine, I mean, Jeff Janis put up the best numbers of arguably any wide receiver, and, you know, first rounders included here. He wasn't the fastest guy by any means, but he's got 4.4 speed, but his leaping ability, vertical jump, broad jump, and when you look at his three-cone drill and his shuttles, I mean, he is in the top, you know, 5%. Of guys who were there at the NFL Combine among wide receivers, you know, for putting up good numbers in these kind of drills. Boy, if these kind of things translate to the NFL, you know, Jeff Janis is going to be pretty damn good for the Green Bay Packers. And again, you know, with him, it's another question of, you know, how quickly does he get there? Does it happen right away with him? And I don't know the answer because, you know, it's tough to say how quickly he can evolve. The Packers were using him during the offseason, during mini camp, OTAs, things like that, trying him out at kick returner. Not something he really did in college. I remember I went back and looked at his statistics, and yeah, he had like one or two kick returns or a handful in college. But as far as being the regular kind of guy there, didn't really do it, so that would be something new to him. He's got the speed to do it, but now he's got to be reliable with catching the ball, not fumbling, all those kind of things. Again, we'll see how things play out. It's going to be so fun to watch all these rookies in training camp in Green Bay. and see how they fit in and do all this. By no means are Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis locks for the team. It's going to be tough because the Packers also aren't going to want to cut them. They're not going to want to, get rid of them and then, see them picked up by another team on the waiver wire or something like that, which they, arguably might never see him again. But they still have to earn their spot because there are a couple guys left over from last year's squad that do provide some promise. And three guys in particular here I'll mention. The first of them, Chris Harper, waiver wire pickup last season, played with the Packers last year, didn't get a whole lot of playing time, especially in offense. Most of his playing time he did get came on special teams, on like coverage units and things like that. He was a fourth round draft choice last year, one of the highest draft choices to get cut. People don't like to give up on draft choices who are fourth rounders that early in their first year. But he struggled, drafted by the Seahawks, later picked up by the 49ers, released by both. Packers pick him up on waivers. He's a big guy. He's like almost, almost tight end size. Chris Harper he's like, 6'3", and, some like 230 plus pounds. Big guy for a wideout. And, he can definitely be a big possession type of wide receiver, but a guy who can stretch the seam too. He can get downfield, or that's what he showed in college at Kansas State, at least. He's got to take a big jump. Looked like he would in the offseason. Reports are he looked good in mini camp, things like that. No pads there, but promising, start to the offseason for him. Definitely looking forward to see how he looks in training camp when the pads go on and see how much he improved over the course of one offseason. And it certainly helps that, he was took part. He didn't have any injuries. He's been knows the offense a whole lot better now. Could be a big year for him if he lives up to his potential. Another guy, Miles White, more your shorter, quicker kind of guy. Another slot type of wide receiver, speedy guy that can get downfield. Made the Packers roster as an undrafted rookie last year. I didn't think he was called up till midseason, right? I don't think he made the 53-man roster out of training camp, did he? I don't think he did. I think he got picked up at midseason by the Packers. Regardless, he got a cup of tea last year, had maybe, a dozen catches or something like that. And part of it had to do with injuries taking place to other players like Randall Cobb, for Miles White to get his opportunity. But the fact that he beat the odds last year, the fact that he's got some good speed, and he enters his second year in the NFL, he's got a chance, especially if, say the Packers hypothetically don't think, Randall Cobb is destined to be leaving the team next season. Maybe Miles White is the slot receiver of the future in Green Bay, but that's merely speculation. I mean, I have no clue what's going on between the Packers and Randall Cobb and negotiations and that, ilk. But just throwing that out there. Miles White has a chance to make the team once again, but he's going to have to earn it, as will Kevin Dorsey, seventh-round draft choice last season. Spent the entire year on injured reserve. Obviously, there's a reason the Packers invested a draft choice into him. We didn't really get to see those reasons last year because he was injured. But there must be something they like about him. The good thing is he put last season's injuries behind him and took part in the entirety of the offseason program. So he's got that going for him, at least. He's, again, got a lot to prove. He's got some nice size, speed, potential, from what I've seen from college from him and what he could potentially provide in the NFL.
He's a long shot, but again, I mean, there's a reason the Packers invested a draft choice into him. Now he's just got to show why and stay healthy more than anything. Practice squad eligible, if nothing else. Finally, the last guy on the roster, I believe, Alex Gillett, a guy who was on the Packers practice squad last season in training camp last year. Didn't spend the whole season with them. I think he was cut and eventually picked up along the line. The good thing is it's his second year in the system. He's got that going for him. He's a former college quarterback at Eastern Michigan. I think he split time there between wide receiver and quarterback. Could be an emergency quarterback. Perhaps he's got that going for him maybe. But, you know, I think they're not really worried about too much about that. They're worried about making him into a wide receiver. He's a long shot, a definite, definite long shot, because all these, you know, 8-9 guys ahead of him on the roster probably all stand a better chance of making the team. But who knows? Maybe Alex Gillett could make the practice squad again. There's injuries, maybe more than that. We'll see. So that's basically breaking down the wide receiver position heading into training camp this year in Green Bay. Gone through them player by player. And next episode on Friday, we will preview the tight end position in Green Bay, another interesting position, and perhaps the one that's most up in the air entering training camp. So we'll get to that then. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us here this morning. Unfortunately, we couldn't talk to Paul Oren. Hopefully, I'll have him back on again, and we'll get to him at some point. We'll try to get to him some point in the future. But anyway, we'll see you again Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com. Show also podcasted on iTunes, Stitcher, on Roku, on our live stream page. There's so many different ways you can access our content. And oh, okay. See, by the way, leaving you with a call to action here at Railbird Central. And again, just, you know, what we put out for now 400, and this is the 421st free podcast. All our content is free at Cheesehead TV. Asking for one small thing from you, and this is kind of a optional call to action. But just recently, during the summer, during the off season, we were added to Stitcher. It's an app for, you know, Android-based or your iPhone, whatever you might have. A podcast app you can get, and it's what it is it's one of the best podcast apps there is out there. If you're interested in listening to Railbird Central or any Cheesehead TV podcast on the go, any podcast whatsoever, go download Stitcher, and that's one more way you can get our content. By all means, if you're happy with the way you already receive your podcasts, you know, this is an optional call to action. But I do think, just in my own personal opinion, Stitcher is one of the best apps, podcast apps out there. Not the only one, but a very good one. So if you want to do that, get our content that way, go do it, folks. That'll do it for today's show. We'll see you, folks. Stay tuned for all your Cheesehead TV news needs all week long. I leave you today with a song called Simple Gift of Man by Brothers Past on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.